brighten up those already bright mornings. Wheeler, Ollie, and Lecter, mornings at the cabin.
And what a delightful morning it is out there. The sun is glistening through the empty windows of the Belanca building. And AJ saw a Zamboni driving down the street. AJ?
Very Canadian morning. First of all, I watched the Canucks win last night. Go Canucks, go. So I was pretty Canadian. And then this morning, I had to overtake a Zamboni going to work.
That Zamboni's a little late to our streets.
A little late. I also don't think Zamboni may be the best tool for cleaning the streets.
Is that not what we use overnight here in the winter?
Get the
night Zambonis out?
We could. It'd be actually be funny to see them do that on the Detta Road in the winter.
Yeah.
That's a perfect
just sheet. Polish her up nice and smooth. And then just curl yourself to Detta.
Yeah, pretty much. Get a running start and just coast.
Just, you know.
Talk about fuel efficiency.
Lean into it and bank right and left every now and again. You'll make it. Be like a bobsled track. We could bobsled to Detta.
Yeah. You might need a couple buddies to sweep for you.
Yeah. Generally speaking, if sweeping is a very dangerous gig in bobsled.
Yes.
You really have to keep your wits about you.
You do, yeah. Skating down the track.
Yep. Ahead of the bobsled.
Ahead of the bobsled. Yep.
With a broom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sweep. No. Sweep
really,
hard.
Really, you have to time that very, very carefully to be able to jump into the bobsled as it comes past.
It's very complicated.
What a great sport that would be. The Winter Olympics would be so much more fun if you could just combine a few of the sports.
My cousin is dating a Canadian bobsledder.
Really?
In Australia.
Well, in Australia.
And they all
assume... That
strikes
me as the worst place to be a bobsledder.
It is. Yeah, I don't think he's very successful.
Is there any ice?
Some spots.
Okay.
Not where they are.
In places. Well, good luck to them. Welcome along the mornings at the cabin. Hello to Zamboni driver.
Mornings at the cabin. The podcast.
There's a family bobsled connection.
Yeah, I guess he was... I think he might be from Calgary, which makes sense.
Yeah.
That was the only bobsled track.
Yeah.
Obviously, he doesn't do it anymore. He lives in Perth. But...
Oh, he's a retired bobsledder.
He's a retired bobsledder, yeah.
That makes all the difference.
But it's one of those funny things in your family. You're like, hey, I can't even remember his name. It's like, hey, this guy's Canadian. Do you know each other? No, it's a big place.
But usually people say yes, which is why Canadians have the reputation they do.
Well, Yellowknife especially. So you're like, oh, you're from Yellowknife. Do you know this person? You're like, first of all, that's ridiculous. But yes, I happen to know that person. We're very close.
Was this person any good at bobsled?
I get the impression he was. You know how people kind of find each other with similar strengths? So my cousin went to the Commonwealth Games for kickboxing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like she's a beast. So I kind of get the sense that he was probably pretty good. I don't know if they met through like high-level sports or not, but I get the impression that he was pretty good.
Yeah, bobsled's pretty big and high-level.
Yeah. Yeah, huge. Huge, yeah. It's usually just black ice and a Ford F-150, but they get the idea.
High-level sports. You want a high-level as a pun for everything. Now that I know there's a place called high-level, anytime someone says, oh, high-level this, high-level, I can't stop myself.
That's a good point, yeah. Corporately, they use that quite a bit, too. Oh, that on a high-level.
Yeah, high-level.
Yeah.
Like, can I have a high-level overview of this particular thing? Well, in high-level, they're going to love it. Yeah.
You want a town filled with gas stations? View? Okay.
I do like high level. Ever since last summer, when they helped everybody out, I got a lot of time for high level.
It's also like a nice landmark for us when we're driving south. You know, like you hit high level, you're like, okay, we're through the NWT portion, onto the Alberta portion, which is generally a little easier.
Never been to high level. Never actually driven south to Alberta from here in my 10 years in Yellowknife.
Never?
Nope. Not once.
Oh, yeah. You went to Simpson. That's an interesting fact.
Even last year, did not bail via Alberta, went to Simpson, and did not at any point leave the territory.
Do you have something against like the long drive? I could see
no,
that.
No, there hasn't been a need. There's no reason to go.
Interesting.
Haven't needed to go to IKEA. Shopped local. Can't think of a reason I would ever have to. I would ever have to make that trip unless it was for some sort of specific reporting purpose. But yeah, I have never been...
Emergency vet services sometimes?
Yeah, potentially.
There's
I did
surgery or something.
When I lived in Fort Leard, I did go to Fort Nelson for that. So
okay. Yep.
Did that trip. Might even have been Fort St. John. Can't remember. So I've done it. Dropped down into BC by road, but I've never done Alberta.
Interesting. It's usually a love-hate relationship, that drive.
But as far as the waterfalls, you know, like past Enterprise and then you got Alexandra Falls, Louise Falls. Those that's
interesting.
That's like I think I turned around at Alexandra Falls and that was it.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Huh. That's a fun fact about you. I didn't know that. I've done that drive, I don't know, 30 times maybe?
Wow.
Interesting. I guess that's, I just assume everyone in the North has done the drive to Edmonton.
I've never been to high level for bobsled training.
Nor has anyone.
Anybody else. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I did like the way you said, well, she was a kickboxer at the Commonwealth Games, so he must therefore have been good at bobsled.
Yeah.
Because you can't date a bad bobsledder if you've kickboxed at the Commonwealth Games.
That's kind of my mentality.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that? Like couples, you're like, oh, you played like university volleyball? They're like, oh, did you play any sports? Like, yeah, I played university basketball. You're like, of course you did. Like, yeah, they always seem to find each other.
Yeah, I have. I'm thinking about this now. I have been in relationships where the other person was very good at a sport.
It didn't work.
Well, I mean, no, I suppose, looking at the evidence, but just there was an imbalance, should we say, a sporting power imbalance. In as much as I am, like, mediocre at cricket and significantly worse at everything else.
Okay. Mediocre at cricket's pretty good, though. Cricket's a tough sport.
Yeah. It's
a lot of hand-eye coordination.
It's a skill that is no longer any use to me, put it that way.
Well,
there's a little cricket team in Yellowknife these days.
Until, exactly. Maybe something comes down to we need to play the cricket team to save the town, and look who we turn to.
What is this, a Simpsons episode?
It could be a very inspirational movie documentary one day.
Cricket Against the Wildfire by Ollie Williams.
The only way we can beat it, we need a fast bowler.
Yeah, to bowl so fast that the draft behind the ball is enough to extinguish the fire.
Yeah, hitting that wildfire for six.
Have you played cricket in Yellowknife yet?
Not in Yellowknife, no.
Okay. Well, we should go down at some point.
We should, yeah.
Yeah, Friday drop-in.
Yeah. Oh, really? They still do it?
I think so. I'll have to check it out. There's a whole WhatsApp group and everything.
Cabin Radio's Morning Show Podcast. All the best chat, none of the embarrassing mistakes.
No Lecter, no Wheeler, just me and AJ hanging out on a Monday morning. Which is pretty much what we did all of Sunday as well, because it's nice, I think, AJ, that after 7 years running this company, we're still bopping around on a Sunday afternoon, tinkering away with it and just making sure, well, you're cleaning everything, making sure everything smells nice, and fixing everything and improving everything. And I'm just sat at the desk writing, which is what I always do.
Yeah, I think it's the Sundays are nice. We don't do it all the time. It's not like we're here every Sunday, but
speak for yourself.
Yeah, it's true. from my own standpoint. But when we do, it is quite nice. Because I find that I do the little things I don't have time for normally. And those are the little things I like to do. Like, oh, there's a squeak here. There's a wheel that needs some grease. So I like doing that kind of stuff on Sunday. And cleaning, yeah. It's been a while since this place has had a good vacuum and a little wipe down. So that's always nice.
I mean, listen to this, everybody.
Oh, what's that? You can't hear anything?
Isn't that a beautifully silent keyboard tray?
Oh, that thing drove me nuts. Actually, the one over on this side was worse, and I fixed this one. I was really happy with it. And this one took some tinkering. That one over there, just screwed it in, off you went.
Can you, if you've been listening to this show for a long time and the sound of the old keyboard tray drove you insane, get in touch. AJ, I mean, it's in the nicest possible sense. I suspect nobody will get into
it. I don't think anybody. I tried this on my show 10 to 12 last week, and I basically said, hey, I don't know what to talk about, so I'm going to go for lunch to the BK. Someone, just send me an email. Send me an email. I'd love to go to lunch with someone. I don't care if I've known you or whatever. So I kind of sent a little call out to the listeners. Literally no one emailed me. I had one email from a friend saying, I can't make it. Which was hilarious.
That's a very polite friend.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Although I will say that is the kind of person that drives me insane on a group email.
Oh, yeah, can't make it. Like, just don't say anything.
Or in a group chat. You know, like, hey, why don't you come along to this thing this weekend? And the message is just, you get a notification every time someone says, oh, I can't be there. Oh, I can't make it. Like, guys, like a separate message to them, a one-on-one thing, great. We do not all need to know that you can't come to lunch with AJ.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with like a group of 30. You're like, come on.
You see, AJ, we get on FM. So many people are going to want to come to lunch with you.
I think so.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah, the
worst thing is I was like, well, would you like to learn a little bit about me? I think that was the catalyst.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, no.
You have a radio show. You have a microphone. Yeah,
you tell us all about your life every day.
Every day. We're fully up to speed. We don't need like the omnibus edition of the show. over a burger at Black Knight. Were you offering to pay?
No. I thought about it. Then I thought, well, what if I get 30 people coming?
Oh, that would have been amazing. Cabin radio forced to shut down after ill-advised lunch.
Commitment to large lunch.
You know how sometimes like Amazon accidentally makes an offer where a laptop is discounted by 130% because somebody keyed it in wrong and then they have to honor it or whatever and everybody gets the paid to have a laptop from Amazon. Here's AJ with his lunch offer. Yeah. Oh, buy you lunch. 308 people turn up at the Black Knight.
On the flip side, though, Black Knight skyrockets.
Oh, yeah. Black Knight's doing great. Yeah. Black Knight's had a banner day. Yeah. Cabin Radio's out of business, but the Black Knight lives to see another
Shuts down early.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we'll have to be careful about our on-the-air offers. But FM will be nice, won't it? We were talking about that yesterday as well. Extending the old FM down the Ingram Trail if we can. Sit at your cabin on a long weekend. Yep. Rocking back and forth, listening to Cabin Classics and Cabin Jazz and Soul on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, Clams and Moose redo on Sundays.
Yep, Sunday evening, beautiful. Just by the campfire, listening to a little Clams and Moose, surf and turf.
It's nice to every once in a while look back and go, oh, we're cabin radio. You know, I think it's important that we kind of hold true to
that thing,
the premise behind that, you know?
Yeah, the premise that we have not lived up to in any shape or form.
Never been in a cabin.
No cabin, no radio. But at some point, I think, once we're on the radio, the moment that the owners of cabin radio have listened to it in a cabin on FM, we have met the criteria.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what happens after that. The world stops spinning. Maybe.
Well, we just have to, I don't know, we rebrand. We call ourselves...
Office Radio. For the Gov, we call it.
I was anticipating being more ambitious than that and calling it, Crevasse Satellite. Because then we sort of have to find a crevasse and operate a satellite from it. And then, we just sort of go on from there. Like, I don't know.
Thinking more logistical.
Yeah, Grizzly Bear Walkie-Talkie.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah. Get a strap of walkie-talkie to a grizzly and play it music.
Yeah, but we have to follow the grizzly around.
Because you've got to be within range of the walkie-talkie.
Of course, you've got to be within a kilometer.
So you've got to be, you've got to sort of track it around and also figure out what music it likes because you get pretty negative feedback pretty swiftly from a grizzly.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Old Slavey Radio.
Yep.
That'd be a good one where we just scuba dive to the bottom of Great Slave.
Yeah.
Well, as close as we can. No one's really been to the bottom, right? And
I feel like someone's probably been to the bottom.
No, I think it's like the deepest point of Great Slave has never... no one's ever been there.
Really?
Yeah, because it's that deep.
Why aren't we exploring that? That feels like the final frontier. Space.
I feel like we need a little submarine.
Well, a yellow one?
Like a little yellow one.
Yeah. Please.
Do you have that queued up? Are you about to tell me you have that queued up right now?
The Beatles on Mornings at the Cabin.
The Mornings at the Cabin podcast, where we delete all the bad bits and make them sound at least semi-coherent.
Have you got any basic tree knowledge going on over there?
Basic tree knowledge. I'm always shocked at how bad I am at keeping plants alive, to be honest.
Great, never mind them.
Yeah.
I have an issue.
Okay.
There is a very large tree outside my house.
Oh, we're talking like arborist kind of knowledge.
Oh, tree.
Yeah,
tree.
But you want to cut it down?
No.
Okay.
I mean, then
you lost me.
Potentially, eventually, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I realize that destroying the tree is very much up your alley, but this is a keep tree alive scenario.
Okay, that may not be your guy.
Have you heard of spruce budworm?
No.
To be clear, it's not a bloke called Bruce Budworm. It's Spruce Budworm, and this is a little critter that basically nests, for want of a better word, inside trees.
Parasitic?
Yeah, and then just devours them. Eats all the needles and then just drops off. Now, for the past 2 years, that tree has been infested by Spruce Budworm, as have lots of other trees locally. It's a thing, particularly during drought years. For some reason, Spruce Budworm just love it.
Interesting.
Love the heat, and out they come. And I'm busy figuring out how on earth I'm going to protect this tree. Because it is a tall tree. It is at least twice the size of the house.
It's big. Yeah. Like, you have probably the biggest pine tree, like, in the land.
Right, so...
In all the land.
Shame the loser. So,
yeah.
Trying to figure out... I mean, there's a fire smart element to this. But at the same time, frankly, if a fire reaches that tree...
Yeah, I mean...
Neighborhood's probably touched.
Yeah, we've been breached.
Yeah, like that tree is sufficiently removed from the rest of the forest that the fire would have to have already made up some hops and skips and jumps to have got to it. So the aim is to keep it alive.
I had that thought in my backyard. I got all that wood there, and I thought, oh, this isn't good for fire. And I thought, you know what? If fire makes it this far, that we're done anyways. Could care less what's in the back. Could be a pond.
It's hard to tell how fatalistic you're allowed to be while fire smarting, right?
Correct.
Like, at what point you would have to just shrug and say, yeah, you know what, the fire, if it got this far, then it deserves this wood.
Yeah, might as well feed it.
Yeah, that seems...
It's probably exhausted by that point.
Arguably counterproductive. Yep. Anyway, spruce budworm, so now-ish is about the time that the larvae just start doing their thing.
Okay.
All the advice I can find, and I've spoken to a few different people about this, I've read up on all sorts of things, all the advice I can find is... spray it with this, like, insecticide. I don't know, it's probably not an insecticide, but basically something that will attack the bugs, but nothing else.
Okay.
Spray it with that. And then every now and again, just hit the thing with a hose to knock them off.
Oh, and physically. So it's like physically like, remove them.
So spray them, first of all, to kill them. And any that you don't kill, knock them off with a hose.
Remove them from your property.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, move them outside and put up some police tape.
Okay, sounds like you need a Clint Eastwood.
Well, it sounds like I need a different set of resources is what it sounds like I need. First of all, I don't really understand how I'm supposed to spray the tree. It's huge. It's about 80 feet.
It's big.
I don't, like, water, short water of a gun. Helicopter.
It's a water gun.
Yeah?
Yeah, they have new water guns now. You charge them with a USB-C. Very slick. And they shoot these... I see it on Facebook all the time. They look awesome. I'm totally going to buy one. But it shoots like a very steady stream of water. And you could just sit there and just snipe these little guys.
Do you want to come around my place and snipe some some spruce budworm?
Let's go hunting.
Okay, yeah. It's a very specific niche hunting.
Perfect. Game. Now I have a perfect excuse to buy this water gun.
I'm going to fly in some American tourists, promise them a great hunting weekend.
Yeah, totally.
Show them a picture of a spruce budworm.
Yeah.
And the other, so then, yeah, the hose situation, like, that's great if you're not on trucked water. That is a massive tree. And, like, there is part of me that thinks I'm going to wait till Sunday night and Wednesday night when I know I'm getting topped up in the morning and just hit the tree with everything left in the tank.
I do that. Like, Wednesday nights, I'll water my lawn.
Yeah.
Knowing that we were getting water in the morning.
Yeah. A lawn. What do you think this is? The 2020s. The world is facing the climate threat. You're maintaining a lawn.
A nice, moist lawn.
Oh, my.
I'm going to consider that a fire break, my man.
Okay. Sure.
A nice short, soaked lawn.
Have you heard of grass fires? A moist lawn. Yes. As long as it's kept moist.
Yeah. All right. It's a moist lawn.
Okay. I need to figure this out because, again, very tall tree. Not that much water. Not on the main supply.
How big are these things?
The budworms?
Yeah.
Like, they're visible. You can see them. They're like a little inch long, I think, sort of thing. So,
okay, that's pretty big.
So you can hit them. You can certainly see them when they land, like when they come out the tree, because what they eventually do is they drop down. This is how we know the tree is infected, is because last summer was ridiculous. You could barely walk on the deck beneath the tree because there were just like showers of budworm coming down.
No way.
Like hundreds. Gross. Hundreds and hundreds. Like the parachuting in. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
No way.
Yeah, it's really a pretty horrific thing. And they do a lot of damage to trees. They are a big issue across Canada.
Interesting.
Particularly in the vast expanses of the boreal forest, where there are not individual human beings prepared to try and put up a fight, they do a huge amount of damage. And basically, they go in waves because every now and again, they just eat so much that there isn't any food left the next year because all the trees die.
Is it just the needles or they actually attack like the core of the tree?
My understanding, and I'm no expert, is that they take the material out the needles, which leaves the tree with nothing to help it regenerate.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, I will probably borrow your assistance, and we genuinely should get a couple of like blaster water guns.
Yeah,
and just fill them up with the stuff.
That sounds like a really fun afternoon.
And just hit the tree.
Yeah, let's go hunting.
Mornings at the Cabin, the podcast where we cut out all the great music and you're left with the rest.
Northern Alberta fire season has begun. Yesterday afternoon, some people in the NWT got emergency alerts on their phones and even heard it cut into radio. For a fire near Fort McMurray.
Man. I mean, I'd argue that they never stopped. I remember being in Edmonton for work in December, and there were multiple, I mean, obviously there's little fires that are kind of always burning, but multiple active fires in December.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And so now we're getting alerts already.
Big old smoke plumes about 10 kilometers east of a place called Sapre Creek, which is just south of Fort McMurray. So Fort McMurray, once again, is heading into the mouth of it, and we'll see what happens there. Interesting note, and we had this in the newscast as well from RCMP, saying people flying drones near it are getting in the way of the wildfire response. So,
I mean, how in the way? Like, just who cares? Just douse them. You know what I mean? Take them out.
I think.
Does it matter? Or does it, like, screw with instruments or something?
Don't know. It's a good question. But it was enough for RCMP to put a message out in Alberta yesterday saying, You technically cannot be within 10 kilometers of a wildfire with a drone.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of regulations around drones.
You got to be super far away. Message there for any NWT drone operators. I know there are plenty of people around these days who've got one of them. Do not fly it near a wildfire.
I don't know if you're going to make it down to Alberta. Well, maybe Fort Smith.
Oh, I'm not suggesting. I'm not accusing any of our guys of culpability, of, like, standing in Smith and, like, bopping over to Fort McMurray with it. I think even some of the more, like, long-lasting drones, I think, what is it, a couple hundred kilometers south to Fort Mac? Maybe more?
Yeah, you're not making it.
You're, like, not making it.
A good drone, maybe go 5, 10
Yeah,
kilometers.
I think the, like, idea
really,
that you could...
Really, really good drone.
You could stand in Fort Smith, you know, on Conibear Crescent and just casually just bop over to Fort McMurray to see how the wildfires are doing. That that technology may not quite be with us yet.
I think we'll get there, though. It'd be pretty cool.
It will and it won't.
Yeah.
I don't really want someone 200 kilometers away to be able to fly a drone around my yard.
That's creepy. Yeah. That's a good point. It's weird.
A lot of stuff, like, the further away you can fly the thing, the more hassle you can be without anybody really knowing it was you.
That's a good point, yeah. And batteries too. You'd probably have to land it somewhere and get someone to change the battery out.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe you just need a bigger battery, and that's going to need some lithium. Oh. And hello, Northwest Territories economy.
Yeah, there we go. That's our new business plan. We have little drone stopovers, like little airports, tiny little airports, right? It's like the size of a driveway, but you know, people can land there, and then you'll do a quick service, throw a new battery on, off you go.
Migrating geese, migrating drones, just bringing them in together.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be such a cool...
Bit of goose food over here, bit of drone food over here.
You got the airport signals, you know what I mean? You're flying them in. Woo, yep. Right here. Park right here.
That, again, that starts to sound very dystopian to me, the idea that Yellowknife is just a stopover for Amazon drones heading from, like, Anchorage to Alberta or something.
Totally. Airport isn't Conroe.
You see that sometimes... Looking at, you know, the flight websites, you can get, like, flight radar. You can see where all the aircraft are, and it's always interesting to me watching the big aircraft going back and forth from Anchorage to the rest of the U.S.
Yeah.
Bopping over Yellowknife at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Why have a 747 when you can just have a really large drone?
Yeah. And you can land wherever it wants.
Land it in Conroe, just, you know, fill up.
Right in the driveway.
Drop off some stuff for us. We got a bunch of stuff with Amazon right now.
You're going to save so much money on cab fare. Just wait till you can just kind of hold on. It just takes you there.
That, again.
Right? You clip on and just kind of hang there like a piece of meat.
But if it's a drone, then how, you know, is there anyone there to double check that you, after your night in downtown Yellowknife, have clipped on safely? Or are we just going to lose you somewhere around Rikon Drive?
We're going to lose a couple of people in this process, okay? It's called science.
Every now and again, you'll just hear a sploosh from Rat Lake. Yeah. And I'll be like, oh, AJ didn't quite make it.
Oh, man. At least he hit Rat Lake.
Yeah, right? He did well.
There's worse places.
There's some bedrock over that way.
Pretty gross water, but yeah, some bedrock would be worse.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm going to go as far as to say that maybe you and I shouldn't be left in charge of the future of drones.
I don't know. That'd be interesting. It'd be an interesting future.
It would be a different future.
It'd be a different future, yeah.
Be a different future. In much the same way that we have established today that we shouldn't be left in charge of trees,
yes. We
also shouldn't be left in charge of drones. In any case, if you got an emergency alert yesterday, it was not for a fire in the Northwest Territories. So far, no reported wildfires this season. We know there are some somewhere, particularly these holdover fires that have been buried through the winter. We know that those things exist, but none of them have popped up and become a significant cause of concern yet. Having said that, the weather forecast for, like, the week or two ahead, it's really warm and very dry. So
that's not great. Do we have a hotspot map for, do we know where the current? But
not really. So today, tomorrow, the NWT Fire is sending up a plane with infrared scanners on it.
Cool.
And flying along the fire lines from last year.
Okay.
To try to figure out where the hotspots now are.
Yeah, and where are we at?
Of the fires from the winter, yeah.
Oh, so that'll be super interesting.
That should be really interesting.
Do they let us use those pictures? Send those pictures?
I'm hoping they will. We're definitely going to put a request in. I don't know what the deal is with that. Okay. But I think there would be a lot of interest. I'm sure something will end up on their Facebook page, maybe something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Showing where some of those hotspots are, and then they can use that information to figure out what should we go deal with now.
Yeah.
Before it becomes a problem.
And I wonder how you deal with that, like underground burn. Like, is there something you can kind of drill down? Do you just hit it with like a dozer, like kind of upset the ground?
I think that is part of it, just physically getting into the heavy vegetation and just moving that around with a bit of equipment.
Zamboni.
Yes, that's what that guy
Zamboni.
Was doing.
Zamboni.
I've often
said. He's going to go spray the fires.
I think brought a Zamboni to a wildfire is an expression, you know? Hey, how did it go at the weekend? Well, yeah, we lost 27-0. We kind of brought a Zamboni to a wildfire.
The Canadians are out of control. They've lost all control in this wildfire. The Zambonis.
What I would give to see the NWT Fire branded Zamboni turn up outside a wildfire. Just ready, just in case.
And they move a hockey net out of the way so it can drive straight through the fire.
Yeah, you know. Lovely.
That's how we're going to beat this thing.
Lots of things to beat in the world. This morning we came up with some plans, mostly involving water pistols and a Zamboni. What could go wrong?
Thanks for listening. Mornings at the Cabin is back from 7 till 9 every weekday on Cabin Radio.